Reading, our Old Testament reading, will turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 26. First Chronicles 26, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Concerning the divisions of the porters of the Korhites was Meshelemiah, the son of Korah, of the sons of Asaph. And the sons of Meshelemiah were Zechariah the firstborn, Jediel the second, Zebadiah the third, Jothniel the fourth, Elam the fifth, Jehohanan the sixth, Elioenai the seventh. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shemaiah the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, and Sakar the fourth, and Netaneel the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Peluthai the eighth, for God blessed him. Also unto Shemaiah his son were sons born that ruled throughout the house of their father, for they were mighty men of valor. The sons of Shemaiah, Othni, and Rephael, and Obed, Elzabad, whose brethren were strong men, Elihu and Semachiah. All these of the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men for strength for the service, were 62 of Obed-Edom. And Meshelemiah had sons and brethren, strong men, 18. Also Hosa of the children of Merari had sons, Simri the chief, for though he was not the firstborn, yet his father made him the chief. Hilkiah the second, Tebaliah the third, Zechariah the fourth. All the sons and brethren of Hosa were 13. Among these were the divisions of the porters, even among the chief men, having wards one against another to minister in the house of the Lord. And they cast lots as well the small as the great, according to the house of their fathers, for every gate. And the lot eastward fell to Shelemiah. Then for Zechariah his son, a wise counselor, they cast lots, and his lot came out northward, to Obed-Edom southward, and to his sons the house of Asupim. To Supim and Hosa the lot came forth westward, and with the gate Shaleketh by the causeway of the going up, ward against ward. Eastward were 6 Levites, northward 4 a day, southward 4 a day, and toward Asupim, 2 and 2. At Parbar westward, 4 at the causeway, and 2 at Parbar. These are the divisions of the porters among the sons of Korah and among the sons of Merari. And of the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasures of the house of God and over the treasures of the dedicated things. As concerning the sons of La'adan, the sons of the Gershonite La'adan, chief fathers, even La'adan and the Gershonite, were Jehali. The sons of Jehali, Zetham, and Joel, his brother, which were over the treasures of the house of the Lord. Of the Amramites and the Izharites, the Hebronites and the Uzielites, and Shebuel, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was ruler of the treasures. And his brethren by Eleazar, Rehabiah his son, and Jeshiah his son, and Joram his son, and Zikri his son, and Shelomit his son, which Shelomit and his brethren were over all the treasures of the dedicated things which David the king and the chief fathers, the captains over thousands and hundreds, and the captains of the host had dedicated. Out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. And all that Samuel the seer and Saul the son of Kish and Abner the son of Ner and Joab the son of Zeruiah had dedicated. And whosoever had dedicated anything, it was under the hand of Shelomit and of his brethren. Of the Izharites, Kenaniah and his sons were for the outward business over Israel, for officers and judges. And of the Hebronites, Hashabiah and his brethren, men of valor, 1,700, were officers among them in Israel on this side Jordan, westward in all the business of the Lord and in the service of the king. among the Hebronites was Jerijah, the chief, even among the Hebronites, according to the generations of his fathers. In the 40th year of the reign of David, they were sought for, and there were found among them mighty men of valor, as Jazer of Gilead. And his brethren, men of valor, were 2,700 chief fathers, whom King David had made rulers over the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh for every matter pertaining to God and the affairs of the king. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, these historical notices in some ways are a little bit lost to us. Some of the names are only mentioned here, maybe a few other places, one or two other places in Scripture. We have several things, though, that we can take note of. We remember, don't we, that because the temple was a holy place, that it could only be inhabited, lived in, by certain people in certain places of it. So there were places like in the outer portion of it where all sorts of people could come in. There was a court that belonged only to the Jews. Then there was a court deeper than that that belonged only to the priests. Then there was the priests and Levites together. Then there was a place only for the priests and so on. There were we talked earlier about concentric circles. There were this kind of concentric circles of access into the temple. And because there were riches there, because there was a lot of gold and silver, not only with regard to the treasuries, but even some of the pieces of furniture, artifacts, walls were coated with metal, and so on. It was a very rich place, and so it must be protected from thieves and spoilers. And so it had a force. It had its own police force, if you will, and they were all made up of Levites that could travel in and out of those holy spaces. You'll remember when King Uzziah wanted to burn incense, that he was opposed by those Levites that were protecting the temple. They were also protecting King Uzziah. It turns out that his word prevailed, and he became a leper for the rest of his days. We'll remember, won't we, when Athaliah had usurped the kingdom, that there was a temple guard, if you will, that protected the young king as they hid him until he was ready to accede to the throne. And then they brought him out of the temple surrounded by that phalanx of Levite guardians, right, with their swords drawn. So when we hear about porters, this is the outermost force of the protective Levite detail. They were the ones that controlled the doors. And notice that they had no word directly from the Lord as to which doors they would protect by their families, so they cast lots for that. They let the Lord speak to them as to which family he wanted at which door. And so they set up the guard in that way. And that's the first wave. Then there's a second wave where the most holy things are kept. That's guarded by a certain force. And so we have these various layers of guardians and Levites over the inward parts of the temple. And we see that they number into the thousands, don't they? Right? Because, again, they worked in shifts, just like those who worshipped did. And then there was a special detail that was assigned to the Transjordanian tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And what those men were there for was to make sure that the temple tax was rightly collected and brought to Jerusalem. And if there were any other political matters that the regular soldiers needed help with, they would assist them in the enforcement of the king's matters also. But their primary business was making sure that the stuff that belonged to the temple, to the house of God, was collected and brought to the house of God. And so it would travel under armed guard, right, in some kind of locked assembly, to bring to Jerusalem, even from as far away as the Transjordanian tribes. So that is what this is telling us. And all of this because the chronicler Ezra would have us know that under David, a proper civil authority and a proper ecclesiastical authority was set up so that the worship of God might advance. Think of 1st and 2nd Chronicles as the history of the worship of God during the days of the monarchy and what it should have been, like it was started out in the days of David, and then that which it devolved, that which devolved from there as the nation turned away from the Lord more and more until the Babylonian captivity. All right, thus ends the reading of 1 Chronicles chapter 26.